morning. Good morning. Look at that beautiful sunshine out there. I'm joined in the studio, as I normally am on Wednesday mornings, by the mayor of New Bedford, John Mitchell. Good morning, Mayor. How are you?
Good morning, Chris. I brought all the sunshine with me.
You did. Don't take it back with you, though. Mayor, I heard a story about you. Confirmed it, but I think the audience should know.
Oh, yeah.
You have started your Christmas activities.
Well,
your
activities, yes. Not the right? Shopping. Jeez, why would I do that? It's only December 10th, Chris. But
you were seen with an axe heading into Quiddicus Pond.
I was seen with an axe going into Klein Nursery.
Yes.
And they informed me that, no, these are already chopped down. I did. I bought my Christmas tree last night at Klein Nurseries over on Hathaway Road. Nice people over there. And got a good tree, brought it in. Just me and the dog at home. The missus is traveling. The girls are gone off to do things in the world, and so the dog and I put the tree up, and we haven't decorated yet. But yeah, that's real progress. Yeah, real progress.
And, does the dog like the tree, Mayor? Does he find it curious?
So. You know, she was really curious about how I was going to get it standing up straight. So it is standing up straight, and tonight I'll put the lights on and do all that. But yeah, it's. I saw Gazelle over there.
You did. That's where I heard
from the Fun 107 side, and he was doing a promo, which was pretty cool. It was raising money for a family in need, and Klein Nurseries was in for $5 a tree to contribute. And so I guess he was broadcasting there. He had all his DJ stuff, out there. So I don't know if he was playing music. But the poor guy,
he's a new dad, too.
He's a new dad. He was standing out there, like, last night it was, 15 degrees?
Yes.
And he was standing out there in a tracksuit. So I was talking to him. I said, hey,
A
velvet tracksuit.
Yes.
Right, with the name Gazelle on it. So I don't own a pair myself, but it didn't look too warm. I said, hey,
put it on the list for Christmas.
Put it on the list. Santa's watching.
Yeah.
So I said, hey, he said, hey, Gazelle, are you cold? And he looked at me and goes, yeah, I am. He was all red.
But he didn't complain.
It's like frostbite was about to set in. But
he wasn't complaining.
Playing the music. Yeah.
He wasn't complaining.
He didn't complain. I asked him. I was concerned about his having to thaw out at some point.
Yeah.
But it was good that he was out there promoting a good cause. So.
Yeah, no, that's good. That Klein's Nursery right there on Hathaway Road. Shop local, shop small, right?
Big time, yeah. This it's and by the way, when I say I shop somewhere, or going out to eat somewhere, it's not to say that's the only place where I buy stuff.
Of course not.
There are
no.
Others.
You're going to buy probably four or five Christmas trees this year.
Yeah, well, you can buy wreaths and places. And
that's a good point.
Other
you
stuff,
can.
Right?
Yeah.
So there's all that Christmas lights and there's other stuff to put up. So yeah, I'll be out there still shopping. But Klein's one of those places that works pretty well, and there are others in the city.
Sure,
Lawrence Greenhouse is just up the street, sells trees too. So they're still at it. Some of the other vendors have gone out of business locally, but and I'm sure I'm not naming all of them, but there are others in the city. So
sure.
Bottom line is go shop local, shop our locally owned businesses, especially. Hopefully you'll find what you need.
We have the mayor of New Bedford here, as we usually do on Wednesdays. Mayor, of course, we've recently lost Bruce Oliveira, real friend of the city, so many friends around. But you've thought of a fitting honor for him. Talk about that.
Yep. I want to say, so first off, yes, we had our tributes to Bruce, a fitting ones over the last few weeks, and he was a close friend of mine and a close friend of many people in the city, and he accomplished a lot on his time in the school committee, on the board of the housing authority where he'd been for decades, and in countless organizations around the city over the years, you name it, he was part of it. Siemens Bethel, in other words, New Bedford Port Society, Friendly Sons, Wailing City Youth Baseball, are some of the more prominent ones, but there were lots of others. So he, as I said in my tribute to him, it's really hard to understate his contributions to the city. And for that reason, I had intended to find something to name in his honor, some school property to carry his name forward in recognition of all those contributions. And so we didn't get a chance to do that while he was still there. He wasn't going to run again. He made that decision that this was going to be his last term. So and so I figured we'd do it toward the end of the term, but we never got to that point. So that's why I raised it in the school committee. I've talked to his family, his wife Pam, and the superintendent. And what I proposed at the school committee meeting the other night was that we name in his honor the school health center that is being constructed now on the west side, the east side of New Bedford High School off of Liberty Street. So that is really going to, it's like a doctor's office over there, and it's going to help us take care of a lot of kids. And for a campus that is as large as, especially combined with Keith Middle School across the street, as large as New Bedford High School is, it is going to serve a lot of students. And so he played a big part in getting that project off the ground. And one of the things that he brought to the school committee that was so important was not only a background in finance, but also a background in construction. And it's just very, very useful to have that on board, so he could, I will tell you that projects were done better by the school department because of his influence, and they were done less expensively. And that was a big, really, and it was just because he brought to the table a certain expertise that I think is really important. So in any case, that is what I've proposed to the school committee. It requires school committee the school committee has to vote to do that, and has to go through a subcommittee process. But I add all that. I give the background only because I do think, and I mentioned this at the school committee meeting on Monday, there is a very natural and understandable tendency to honor people who we like who died suddenly. And sometimes, and you've seen things in cities, including here, from time to time, named for people who passed. But when you name something for somebody in the wake of their deaths, that can't be the reason, because you miss them, so is right. not a reason to name something.
Right.
We honor people with these naming opportunities, these naming events, because they've contributed something significant, and you want future generations to understand that and to emulate that behavior. Mm-hmm. So I mentioned that this was already something that would have been in the works before Bruce's sudden death. And so, you know, people recognize that this is entirely on the merits, and it's not out of sentimentality, however right. understandable that might be.
Sure. No, I think that's very important to point out. This is a man of significant contributions, unique skills, and he lent those skills to the public good.
Yeah, he worked hard. He worked it and did it for all the right reasons, but the contributions really paid off. I mean, it's not just, a lot of it was done in the school committee. Like, he did a lot for the school system, but he was the treasurer at Volk too. He coached Little League for 30 years. He was, along with Fred Toomey, responsible for restoring the Siemens Bethel, which mm-hmm. is the most famous building in the city. Right. So that's, and there's a long, long list of things. So I want people to know that when we do this, it's not because, we're not doing it just because we miss Bruce. We're doing it because he made major contributions.
Right. No, I think that's very important, Mayor. Tell you what. Why don't we do this? So it's getting cold outside. Not today.
Not today.
But it is getting cold. It was cold yesterday.
It was yesterday.
It'll be cold tomorrow.
Just ask Gazelle.
Poor Gazelle. Michael Rock is like a real, real slave driver.
You sent the poor guy out in the cold. What if he caught pneumonia?
It's a job opportunity for somebody else. Sorry. The temperature is getting cold outside. DPI is preparing for the snow. But they got to do it in light of the budget cuts by the city council, the pre-treating of the roads. What are we doing, Mayor? Talk about that.
So ever since we had that really big really bad winter, which is 10 years ago now, actually close to 11 years ago now.
I could still shovel snow.
Yeah, 2015, right? Yep. January of 2015 into February of 2015. That was, we got a ton of snow and it remained cold so the snow didn't melt. So it piled and piled and piled. And people remember there were National Guard units that were helping us remove snow in places. And we got, it was, the city was really bollocksed up, but like really the whole Northeast was experiencing it. And so there are some changes in state, the way the state allows cities to budget for snow removal. And we what they did was they allowed us to create a snow account, basically. And every year, we have, since then, we have budgeted $450,000 for snow removal. The expenses associated with snow removal include the stuff they put on the roads, right? The salt, the brine, and all that. But most of it is the cost of paying our employees overtime because they do their work in the night and on weekends, and they do a really terrific job at it. But they do it at off work hours oftentimes, and so not all the time, but oftentimes. So as a result, the overtime costs add up. So despite the increased cost of everything over the years, we didn't raise the what we budgeted there, $450,000 each year. And we lucked out that we haven't gotten nearly as much snow as we did that year. The problem is that in the last budget session, for reasons that, frankly, I can't figure out, the city council cut it down to $300,000. So they cut a third of it. And without any understanding of like whether we need that money, we need that money to stock up on salt, and then then to go out and plow, and therein lies the biggest cost, which is overtime. So we're at a point now we only have 80 because we had to go out and buy all that product. We only have about $80,000 left for the entire winter.
Really?
Yeah. So I say this to people because we're going to have to be judicious about when we put out salt on roadways. And I think the snow budget should be more than $450,000. But if it goes over this new account that the state allowed us to create, effectively says you can spend this one in the deficit, but goes right on people's tax bills. So let's just say we spend, let's just make the numbers round. Let's say we spend $500,000 this year. So there would be, it'd be $200,000 more than we budget. So that $200,000 would have to get rolled right onto the next year's tax bills, which is not a great way to budget. You got to pay for it anyway. So yes, taxes pay for it anyway. But it's just, I don't think the city council fully appreciated that problem. And look, we're not trying to pad the budget. You got to put money aside for snow. And we kept the amount we budgeted the same for almost the last 9 years straight. And yet they cut it. So I'm saying this now before the first snowflake falls so that people understand that when they see us plowing out there, it's because it has to be plowed and it's going to cost something that people didn't plan. We didn't plan on. So that might mean that we don't, there may be times when we would have used salt or brine on the roadways in anticipation
to pre-treat.
There may be a little bit less of that if it involves off hours work. In other words, you're regenerating your overtime. So this is just a way of, I'm letting the public know this because the budget to remove the snow is really tight and we're trying our best to manage it. And unfortunately, we had a out of the blue cut from the city council that makes matters harder.
We're going to take a break and then we're back. If you want to speak with the mayor, you can. He's open to all your questions at 508-996-0500. Beware of impending doom. Snow will come in Massachusetts.
I don't mean to sound the panic alarm. All I'm saying is that I just want people to understand where we're coming from.
No, I totally get it, Mayor. We're going to take a break and we'll be right back. Stick around.
This portion of programming on WBSM is brought to you by D's Hot Dogs in New Bedford, where you can get two hot dogs, soda, and a bag of chips for only $5.
South Coast Now with Chris McCarthy, weekdays on 1420 AM and 99.5 FM. WBSM.
Gathered in their masses, just like witches at black masses. Evil minds that plot destruction, sorcerer of death's construction. In the fields of bodies burning, machine keeps turning. Death and hatred to mankind.
That's off the mayor's playlist. Little Christmas music. War Pigs, Mayor.
Little upbeat Christmas music. 'Tis the season.
Pete Heskis Christmas song. 508.
That's just good to hear Ozzy.
You know, always good to hear Ozzy. You should name something after him in the city.
Yeah. Yeah, there's got to be some connection. Ozzy probably passed on 195 at some point.
Took the Penniman Street exit for whatever reason.
Something like that, yeah. Up to the gas station, whatever.
Whatever. Mayor, we have a sheriff here in Bristol County. He's been on the program quite a bit. I enjoy him. He's talking about the jail, closing down the jail in your city. Talks about, you know, what the city will do with it later. He's going to leave it up to you guys or something like that. I don't know what's going on. There's a good article at WBSM.com, but have you heard from the sheriff's office about that big building in your city, the jail?
No.
Not a word.
No, he's never brought it up at all. And look, I he's made clear that he wants to shut down the Astry Jail. To me, that's fine. It's an old public building. We have old public buildings. We have schools that are old. We have fire stations that are old. And the time comes when they need to be replaced. They're capital assets. It's time comes whenever it does. And I'm sure I take it at face value that it's an inefficient building. I'm sure the heating system's old. I'm sure it leaks heat like a sieve, whatever. But there has to be some kind of engagement about what to do next. It's right in the middle of our city.
Right.
And we've got a neighborhood around there that ought to have a say in its future. And my position is I wanted that neighborhood to know that that there's not going to be any future use without their having a whole lot of input into it. And the other thing I'll just say is that it's a state facility, and so if there's state funding that needs to come in to build, I don't know, an addition to the North Dartmouth facility on Fawns Corner Road or whatever, my own feeling is that as capital projects go and state capital projects go in Greater New Bedford, it is not near the top of the list. Right. We have a whole lot of things that we need to build here. The city needs a new courthouse desperately. The city needs the state funds things like the state pier, which, as we know, is falling apart. The state has a marina that is falling apart because they didn't invest in that.
Right.
You've got a number of things out there that the state needs to be put. The airport terminal, the oldest airport terminal in the state, we're trying to move that ahead, the Bedford-Fabin Bridge. So I've got a long list, and they're all, to my mind, more important than rebuilding the Astry Jail. But that's not to say it shouldn't be closed down and those inmates moved out to wherever, North Dartmouth, wherever else. It's just you have to, you can't just do those kinds of things in a knee-jerk way. You got to plan a little bit. You got to talk to folks. And by the way, the most important people to talk to are the immediate neighbors.
Right, right. So what about the Sheriff Haru, this is, his plan to turn that into what sounded to me like a nationwide homeless shelter? For you get out of jail, you don't have a home, you have to have been a convicted inmate, you have to have been in jail. You can come to Ash Street and be a homeless inmate at Ash Street. That was part of his plan. How would that
sit with you, Mayor? He has not reached out to the city to share what he has in mind. I've just learned these things through the media, and I'm not going to embrace anything if I'm just hearing it through the media.
Right.
So whatever it is, he wants to turn it into Disney World. I'm not going to embrace it because it requires some level of discussion and thought and analysis and engagement with the neighborhood. I can tell you that the neighbors there have approached me.
I would imagine.
And have said, oh, we don't want a homeless shelter there. And I said, of course you don't.
Right.
and it's not to say that folks who are formerly incarcerated shouldn't be assisted in their reintegration with society. They should.
Because
it's not, I don't say this purely out of a charitable mindset. We're better off as a society if those people get back on track.
Yeah.
Because if they don't, they're going to commit more crimes. So you do need to have a thoughtful way, an appropriate way to reintegrate people who are being released from prison back into society. But it doesn't mean that particular place has to do it. It's a dense neighborhood.
Right.
And what should be happening there ultimately when the Ash Street Jail is inevitably shut down, closed up, is that is some kind of development that complements the neighborhood and strengthens the neighborhood. That's my position, and I'm sure the neighbors have some thoughts about that, and I would welcome their input. But until the sheriff says something, wants to talk about, nothing's going to happen.
I didn't think that homeless shelter idea would fly with you, Mayor, or the neighbors.
I think there has to be some way. Elsewhere could be way out in the hinterland where we have something that like that. I can't imagine that that's a good idea for that neighborhood.
No, I can't either. Mayor, I know you've got your Christmas tree. What about gifts underneath it, Mayor? For
it's
78
only December
years.
10th, Chris. It's like, why are we rushing into things?
Well, that's because all the good stuff will be gone if you don't hurry up, Mayor. You know, for 78 years, you've been able to count on Carter's Clothing. They've been the South Coast's one-stop shop for clothing and footwear. And this Christmas, Mayor, they're making gift-giving even easier for you, my friend. Your last-minute shopping can all be done at Carter's. He's nodding, folks. Carter's has the best prices on top-name brands like Carhartt, Timberland, Chippewa, New Balance, and more. Just go in the store and take a look around. They also sell unique New Bedford items there as well that may interest you, Mayor Mitchell. Find something for everyone with over 75 styles of boots, cozy flannels, hoodies, jackets, and vests, perfect for winter. Free parking both in New Bedford and Fall River. Gift cards are available in any denomination. Shop small. Shop local this Christmas with Carter's Clothing. Visit them online at cartersma.com.
So I got something to say, Chris.
Sure, Mayor.
So, yeah, Carter's is a terrific place, and I do go there around Christmas. When I say around Christmas, like really close to Christmas, as you know. But, you know, Trevor Carter's probably listening to this, and so I just want him to know that, you know, I think you might remember my wife went in there to buy me jeans, and let's just say they were a little too snug.
All right. That's your fault, not
his. That's my fault.
Ahead.
It's not her fault. It's my fault, ultimately, and it's certainly not Trevor's fault. So I got to bring them back, but I don't have the receipt. So I hope he's I hope he's, you know, in the Christmas spirit and allows me to redeem those jeans because I haven't otherwise worn them. They're still good. They're still folded.
I think we can trust you and Annie.
I think so.
We can trust you and
Annie. I think
Annie.
They can. Yeah. Yeah.
Trevor can trust you guys.
Those guys are great. And,
yes.
And I'm glad they do their advertising here on BSM, and it is a good place to shop.
I'm sure. I mean, again, I love shopping local, particularly there. They got all kinds of great stuff. And I think you'll find it to be a rewarding experience, Mayor. Again, you look the person in the eye, you can do business with them. So why don't we do this, Mayor? Why don't we take a break, and then we'll come back. We got people on hold waiting to speak with the mayor. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Back to Chris McCarthy and South Coast Now on WBSM. Call 508-996-0500.
Just the same, I know that somebody's trying. So please
is little Chris Isaacson, Isaac, off of the Mayor's Playlist. Taylor Cormier is selling them out the back door if you want to come by and get a copy of the Mayor's Playlist. Mayor, we're going to take some phone calls.
Oh, yeah.
We've got people here on hold.
Headphones.
Get those headphones on. Hopefully they'll be working. The first guest of the morning to use those. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Hi.
Hi.
This is Nicole. I called earlier, but she had to go, so.
Yes. Nikki.
I'm calling back. So
Nikki has a mold problem, sewage problem at her home in the city of New Bedford.
All right, good. Tell me about it.
Yes, I do.
Hi, Mayor. How are you?
I'm well.
How are you?
I could be better, but, you know, I do have the Christmas spirit, so that's good.
Okay. That counts.
Okay.
All right, tell me what's going on.
I live at 75 Rodney Street. Mm-hmm. My landlord is John Kopacheski. And right now, there is my basement, my whole cellar is covered in sewage, raw sewage from a leak that he knew about in the summer. Now, here's the thing, just a little rewind. I am very sick. I have endometriosis, which causes severe anemia. I've almost died a few times from my anemia. Toxic mold grows in this sludge, and I've been breathing this since the summer through my vents. Here's the thing. I didn't know I was breathing that because my husband didn't tell me. He told the landlord when he discovered it in the summer, and the landlord said to him, oh, don't worry about it. I'll get on that right away. So my husband is a very trusting, nice person and said, oh, good. Just wanted to let you know. And he never thought about it again because he was like, he said he's going to clean it. He's going to do it because it's sewage. Of course he's going to clean it. Well, a few nights ago, my husband had to go downstairs with one of our neighbors so she could get to her electrical box or a breaker. And she slipped in the sludge. Caught her, thank God, because if she would have fallen in that, there's HIV in that, there's hepatitis, there's giardia, not to mention a whole host of other things that live in there, microorganisms. It's just dangerous. So when my husband came upstairs, he's like, yeah, she almost fell. And I'm like, in what? And he explained the sewage system, and I'm like, are you kidding me? What? So we took pictures, we have video, and it's mind-boggling how bad it is. He is also, with the kid upstairs from me, trying to push him out by not paying to fix his heat. And that is a problem for me. This kid also has health issues. He has a serious seizure disorder, and that's unsafe for him, too. He has mold in his house. The girl in back of me has mold in her house from a flood that happened from the kid upstairs apartment into her apartment because the pipes froze because he didn't pay to fix his heat.
Oh, boy.
And now I am dealing with the sludge that is right underneath my apartment, with all the vents. My head sleeps at one of the vents in my bedroom.
Well,
my husband has MS, and he gets treatments that knock out his whole system, his whole immune system. He can literally die from an infection. That's how serious it is. It's very, very serious. I tried contacting my city councilman. He never responded to me. But I know Ian Abreu from a couple of Facebook groups, the New Bedford groups. And Ian Abreu was my hero yesterday. He got me all hooked up with Sophia at the Board of Health. And he has been nothing but helpful through this whole thing. And now, Mayor, what I want to ask you is, how do we stop these, and I'm going to use the word slumlords, from just continuing on? Because he has a stack of complaints at the Board of Health. They told me when I called. They knew who he was. They knew this address. How does this guy get to keep operating in this city? He raised our rent by $100 when he knew the sewage was down there. Meanwhile, this dude lives in a mansion in Paednarum, and he's got us living in essentially a cesspool, and he doesn't seem to care. And thank God for Ian Abreu for helping this all get some action behind it. But, Mayor, how are you going to help me and all the other people in the city who are dealing with these landlords who know that they have people by their vulnerabilities because people are poor, people are sick, and people cannot afford the rent in the city. And so landlords like John Kopacheski, they use those vulnerabilities against people. He also uses their lack of knowledge against them and then just abuses them. Are we going to wait till he actually kills somebody or hurts somebody with his neglect? Because that's what's coming. And then when that comes, what? What are we going to do from there? So I need you on the record, Mayor. How are you going to help me and help other tenants who are going through this?
Yeah. So first off, let me just say a couple of things. That's no way to live. And nobody would want to experience what you're experiencing right now, especially given some of the health challenges that you and your husband face. It's wrong, and it should not happen. So what I will say, so as you were explaining all this, we've got some texts from City Hall. I appreciate that you talked to Councilor Abreu, but you know the reality is that was the mayor's office that acted on it and called the Board of Health and move this thing forward. So good that councilors are responding and all that. And I don't mean to discredit him at all, but the health department
to me though, because he really eased my mind and he really brought me peace of mind yesterday and today.
That's great. So what I'm just telling you that the city government, my administration is already acting on it. So, and they're going to have to deal with it. And this guy's been, as I understand it, has been fined before. And mm-hmm. I'm a big believer in running the meter on places that the fine meter on places that continue to fail to comply with the law, continue to fail to do right by their tenants. And that's how we deal with landlords in this city. And I think you'd find that with a lot of landlords out there that they've learned the hard way that we don't mess around. There are still some landlords out there that don't get it, that haven't gotten with the program. But I can assure you, your landlord, if all of this turns out to be in fact the case, and we'll look into that and make our own determinations, not to disbelieve what you're saying, but we've got to independently determine that. But if that's the case, then I can assure you your landlord will get with the program one way or the other, or sell the house.
Hey, I'm going to hold you to that, man. I really am going to hold you to that.
You should. And there are lots of tenants around the city who've had bad experiences. And I don't think, and if you polled the landlords in the city, I don't think you'd find one who'd say, yeah, we pulled the wool over the Mitchell administration's eyes. It just doesn't happen. Yeah, we do. Okay. What I will say to you, though, Nikki, is that don't hesitate. And I'll say this to every tenant out there who has an experience like yours that's just beyond the pale with their landlord. You got to pick up the phone and call.
Right.
We don't. I say this to everybody. We do not read minds. We need to hear from you. So
that's it. And that's specifically why I called today, because I really,
yeah,
I really
but
wanted
you can
to
wait.
Speak
so
to
I'm
it.
Fine with having these conversations on the radio. That's fine. It doesn't matter to me, but you can get, you don't have to wait till the radio program comes on and an opportunity for Chris and I to stop talking. Right. You can call the mayor's office. You can call the neighborhood task force. You can call the health department. They will act on these things.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I did. I did definitely call the Board of Health. Yes, I definitely did do that.
Yeah. No, that's good.
Thanks for calling, Nikki. I don't think you need hope because you got the mayor on your side here. It was a good call.
Oh, thank you so much, guys. I appreciate it. And thank you, Ian Abreu. Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right, we got other people on hold here who want to speak. No surprise, want to speak with the mayor of New Bedford. Good morning. You're on the line with the mayor.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Yeah, mine is small compared to that poor girl. But I just wanted to remind the mayor that it's been a while, quite a while, since I think our hydrants have been flushed in the Downey Street area, if you could make them aware of that.
We can find out when they were last flushed, so that people, just so that listeners can understand what we're talking about. So the Department of Public Infrastructure from time to time on a schedule, goes around and opens up the fire hydrants, and that's to make sure that they're cleared of any rust or any other kind of precipitant that might clog them up in the event of a fire. So that's I can't tell you. We've got 300 miles of roadway in the city. I can't tell you when Downey Street was last done, but I will pass it along to DPI, and it may, but just know that it's done on a schedule that they stick to.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call. Thank you. And thanks very much. We're going to take a break, Mayor, and then we'll be right back, folks. Stick around. Program. We have a few more minutes here with the Mayor of New Bedford. Mayor, you want to address that
Absolutely.
Last caller?
Absolutely. We got the last caller asked about the next hydrant flushing on Downey Street. Well, the fabulous Donna Amato at DPI just texted me and said, she said that is the Downey Street hydrant flushings are going to happen soon. So this caller is all on top of it, and so is DPI. Appreciate the communication on both ends.
Good response there, Donner. Mayor, firefighters, new class?
Yep, coming up tonight, new class of firefighters. It's always an occasion to, you know, to give thanks to our firefighters who do a job that is essential for in any city. And our firefighters these days are working not just as bravely as they always have, but smarter than they always have. And we've really increased our capacity to do inspections in the right places. And it's not to say that they work magic. It's not like they can prevent every fire from happening, but we are reducing fires in the city pretty significantly, and I appreciate the work they're doing.
Yeah, you made a big emphasis on education.
On education and inspections, and doing inspections in a data-informed way. It might be a little boring sometimes to talk about that, but if you, in theory, could inspect every single place, every single facility, every building every day, if you had enough people to do that, you probably would come close to preventing just about every fire. We don't have – that's not in the cards, so we have to figure out – which ones are most at risk and prioritize those. And that's what we do. And so in so doing, we're able to prevent a lot of fires, probably more than in a long time.
Yeah. You don't realize what you prevent when it doesn't happen, right?
Exactly.
It's hard to figure out. But Mayor, I appreciate it. We'll see you next week.
You will.
All right, folks. I want you to stick around for Barry Richard. I'll be back tomorrow, God willing.